And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hi there, everybody out in Radio Land this morning. I'm in the studio at crntalk.com together with Malcolm Berman, our producer. And how is everyone today? And we have some very interesting news items.
Yes.
Okay, and this came to me after the fact. And this is in L.A. We had a condom bus running around, which was giving out free condoms to whoever wanted one in order to promote safe sex. Can you believe that? A 38-foot-long bus doling out these things. I remember when I was a kid, this was unheard of. If you wanted a condom, you had to go to the local drugstore. You had to wait till everybody left, so you know you were too embarrassed to ask for the product. And when you finally did, the owner would look at you as though you were a pedophile, and then he would had to reach under the counter to pull them out like it was all secret and hush-hush. And now they're giving away the stuff on a bus, freebies, to whoever walks up to it. You know, it's amazing how times change.
Well, have you walked into a Rite Aid or a CVS and go by the, you know, the pharmacy area? They have this huge display of condoms, anything that you want.
Yeah, that I've seen. But now, you know, a condom bus, that really is something.
Well, as Paul pointed out, now they have the extra large.
Now, well, for him, maybe. Okay. Hey,
Paul,
what else
true?
Is in the news this week? You know, I was reading George Zimmerman, you know, the wannabe rent-a-cop guy, the one who killed Trayvon Martin over a year ago in Florida. He says that he is suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. Give me a fucking break. Unbelievable.
go for it, Paul.
Did he bleep that out?
I don't know if he caught it on time.
Oh, anyway, if any of you people are out there and if you heard the word, okay, what the hell? That's the way I talk. Sometimes, not all the time. But Paul is supposed to bleep them out.
It's called the F-bomb.
Yeah. And for you people who don't know, there is about an 8-second delay from when we talk to when it goes out over the air. And one of Paul's jobs, and he's not supposed to fall asleep or read magazines. He's supposed to listen to what we say and bleep out anything inappropriate.
Well, I noticed the camera's not on him, which he's supposed to have to show you his work in the control room.
Well, anyway, let him go back to sleep. No more F-bombs today. Listen, I'm sure that most of you out there in Radio Land have gone to a funeral at least once in your life, either for a friend, relative, or loved one. Well, I went to a funeral this past Sunday that was, without a doubt, absolutely the best funeral that I ever gone to, bar none.
I've never heard that expression, going to the best funeral.
Well, this one was unbelievable. Now, in one of my books, The Trees, I devoted an entire chapter to a longtime comic who dies in Las Vegas. And I play it out as though it were an X-rated eulogy. I thought it was very good the way I wrote it. What I witnessed on Sunday, this past Sunday, that is, was not quite up to that level, or down to that level, depending on your point of view. It was, nevertheless, superb. I'm talking about the two-hour-long funeral services on behalf of Sid Caesar that was attended by his family, his closest and longtime associates in the biz, and a small handful of non-comics, such as myself, that were there by special invitation. The show, and I must refer to it as a show, was staged by Fran and Lou Zigman, who were longtime friends of the great Sid Caesar. Sid would most definitely have been proud of this send-off. There were many celebrities, not only of the past, but also of the present, that were in attendance. There were others, many more, as you can imagine, that were not there because of either prior commitments or distance or whatever, or both. And no, I did not take notes on who was there, but I do remember some of the people that were there. We had Arthur Hiller, the director, Norman Lear, the producer, Lee Delano, who worked with Sid, Eddie Freifeld, his biographer, Norby Walters, Connie Stevens, Michelle Lee, Artie Butler, the composer, and Marvin Kaplan, the erstwhile comedian from long ago.
You said Mel Brooks was there also?
Oh, yeah, he was something else. Now, paying their respects up on the podium were Karen Caesar and Tim Carroll. Those were Sid's daughter and son-in-law, who were both sad and funny at the same time, as they painted a very unique and personal picture of one of our most distinguished comedians. Of all the entertainers that came up to the podium, only one was not funny. That was Theodore Bicquel, who played his banjo, it was a guitar, while singing a sad song, which was first in Yiddish and then in English. It was more like a dirge. But that's okay, that's his style. Not everyone can tell jokes. John Voight, however, who was known for his acting chops, proved to be a formidable comedian, able to more than hold his own among comic professionals. Mel Brooks, he was something else. Mel started out in the entertainment business back during the early days of television with the Show of Shows as a writer, together with the likes of Carl Reiner, who couldn't be there that day, Imogene Coca, Woody Allen, and Sid Caesar. He literally brought the house down. He was fantastic.
But you know, in those days, your Show of Shows was a 90-minute live show once a week.
Right.
39 weeks a season.
Right. They couldn't do that today.
Yeah.
So anyway, what Mel Brooks did, it was truly a fitting end for someone who brought so much laughter and joy into our lives. And then there were others there that paid their comic respects, such as Norm Crosby, Rudy DeLuca, the writing acting team of Renee Taylor and Joe Bologna, and also Richard Lewis. And then there were other comics in attendance who did not get up to speak, but they were there, like Billy Crystal, Jack Carter, Shecky Green. Now, Jerry Cutler, the presiding rabbi conducting the services, who was a comic before he became a rabbi.
And he's still a comic.
Yeah. He was in rare form, I have to tell you. Rare form. He was good. And in closing, Lou Zigman gave a final tribute to the man whose lifelong quest was to make us laugh. And all I can say, it was truly a funeral to die for.
Well, I used to love Sid Caesar when he did his dialogues. When he would feign to know a language, he would do French.
Oh,
he would do Italian.
When he used to come to the New York Alumni Association meetings, we would meet once a year at the Beverly Hills High School, and he would be in the audience. And he was getting on in years, and he wasn't that healthy. He was getting frail, and whenever the spotlight would go on him, it was like magic. He didn't even get up, but from his seat, he went into that routine with these phony languages, and everybody was in hysterics. It was great just to see that he could do this. After so many years, it was ingrained. It was in his DNA.
Yeah, I think Carl Reiner tells the story of they were in Italy doing some sort of show, and they got into a car accident, and the Italian police came over. And Sid Caesar started doing his routine in Italian.
I can just picture that.
Yeah, Carl Reiner thought they'd get arrested, definitely. But the Italian police were so confused. They thought he was talking, but they didn't understand what he was saying. He was so adept at that. And I think it goes back. They say that his father owned some sort of retail store back in Brooklyn, I think it was.
Yeah, and he listened. He listened to the different dialects of the different people coming in. In fact, his daughter mentioned that at the funeral services. And that's how he learned, by listening.
By listening.
Yeah, he was a good comic, not by talking, but by listening, hearing, and picking up these little things people, from people, dialects, and whatever.
Well, it's dialects, it's talking, it's also body language. If you notice different languages, the people hold their bodies differently. You know, it's Italians with their hands and their shoulders back.
Speaking of bodies, you know that he was a very strong guy when he was young, really very strong. In fact, there's a story about, and they told it, when he used to go to this restaurant, he had a favorite parking spot right in front, and it was reserved for him. And one day he came there, there was a little yellow Volkswagen parked in his spot. So you know what he did? He actually lifted up the car section at a time, and he got it on the sidewalk. And then he parked his car, which was a big Cadillac. And then when the owner of the little Volkswagen came out, he looked at it and he saw his car on the sidewalk. He couldn't, how the hell did my car get on the sidewalk? And Sid had done it. He lifted up first the end, or then the front, and then little by little, he was able to get it on the sidewalk.
He was known for, you know, his strength. Also, I think he was into health food, into vitamins before it became popular.
That I don't know. I know he was a very strong guy. He was a big guy and a very funny guy.
Well, speaking of funny, I believe we have a funny man that's going to be our next guest.
Yeah, Brian T. Shirley. And no, he's not a girl. He's a guy. And no, he's not related to a boy named Sue.
And don't call me Shirley.
No, I had to get that joke. It's Brian. His name is Brian, and he will be on after the break.
Are you there, Brian?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay. He's waiting. He's chomping at the bit. Okay, we won't have you go on now because they're already pointing from the...
We have two minutes left.
2 minutes left. Okay. No, he didn't fall asleep. He is awake in the control room. Okay,
yeah, well, you woke him up. That was definitely.
I did? You mean with the F-bomb?
The F-bomb.
All right.
He's looking at this control light.
Yeah, if we see him dozing off again, we'll drop a few more.
Hey, Paul, it's only a job.
All right, Malcolm, okay, what do you have to say here?
Yeah, I have, we're going to have the thought of the week or the quote of the week, and I have a quote over here from Norman Vincent Peale.
And this is not going to bore us, is it?
No, it's only going to take a few seconds. And it's, if I could read this, it's forget the mistakes of the past and press on to the greater accomplishments of the future. Give everyone a smile. Spend so much time improving yourself that you have no time left to criticize others.
Okay, so interpreted or translated, that means forget about how you screwed up in the past. You'll only screw up again. Okay, I can buy that.
Right, the past is the past, and you can't do anything about it, but the future is something that you can.
Hey, did you see the item about the Jamaican bobsled team?
Yes,
I
did.
Where the hell do these guys practice?
Well, that's a fun... Well, they had a great movie called Cool Running, was it? Back about 4 or 5 years ago with John Candy, and it was how they got the money to get the sled and how they did their practice. And,
well, where did they practice? They can't practice in Jamaica. There's no snow.
They practice on the beach. I don't know. Does it say in the article?
Let me see.
But according to the article, they were the most popular group. Everybody wanted to take pictures with them.
Well, the article mentions the team's popularity largely stems from Cool Runnings, the 1993 Disney movie that is loosely based on Jamaica's 1988 Olympic bobsled team.
Yeah, because the Jamaicans are most famous for their
running,
their track teams. Yeah.
Well, you can't run on a bobsled run.
Well, actually, you run when you're taking off with a bobsled.
Yeah, that's only for about 10 or 20 feet. That's
But I recommend the movie. It's a funny movie with John Candy. But anyway, I hear the music.
The music, yeah.
But I don't know how many seconds we have left.
How many seconds left?
Paul, are you there?
He's talking
to his
friend.
How many seconds do we have left?
He doesn't know.
You got 30 seconds. You're listening to...
You woke him up again.
You're listening to CRNTalk.com on the CRN Digital Network. And we'll be right back with Brian Shirley, a comedian. Hopefully he'll make us laugh or tell us more about comedy. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes.
And if you want to call in, 800-336-2225. Hi there. Hey, are we on? Malcolm, I didn't get the signal. Okay, we're ready.
On.
Stan Weiss, leader here in the studio with Malcolm Berman, CRNTalk.com. We are on digital radio. We are on your apps. We are all over the internet. We are all over the planet and the galaxy.
We're every place that can be, we're there. And in future generations, when they hear our sound out into outer space, they can say, boy, what a weird shows those were.
They will say, what the bleep is that?
Right.
Okay, Paul, you didn't have to bleep that one out. I did it for you.
Anyway, we introduce our guest.
All right, we have a special guest today, a comedian, Brian T. Shirley. Brian, are you with us now?
Oh, yeah. I'm right here.
Okay. All right, Brian, why don't you tell us briefly or lengthily about your career, what you do, where you've been, where you travel?
Well,
in about 30 seconds.
Sure. I've been doing comedy for over 20 years all across the United States, Canada, and the Bahamas, and just got back from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had two sold-out shows there, Latitude 40, and it was amazing. Really, really good venue there. And I just travel wherever I can and love to do the deed. And you had a great honor being at Sid Caesar's funeral, Stan. And I got to tell you something about that. He, to me, illustrates the perfect example between what a comic is and what a comedian is. To me, Sid Caesar was a comedian. He didn't just get up and deliver lines, like y'all were saying. He acted it out. He could do characters, and that's why later on in life he had some great roles. Grease, he was the coach in Grease, if you remember that, and some of the other movies he did. So I think it's an illustration of how if you're a comedian, and I find myself to be a comedian, I do characters too, you can make that transition over into being an actor because basically you really are. You're just writing your script. Is what you do when you do stand-up. And a comic, to me, is someone who just, Jerry Seinfeld, who delivers jokes, which there's no better or worse. I'm just saying it's two different things.
Well, I admired the way you guys do your craft. You know, I, for one, I can write jokes, I can tell jokes, I can, you know, give them to somebody to do, but to get up there and live in front of real people, you know, I couldn't do that, make a fool of myself and have everybody laugh at me.
Well, laughing at you is fine. It's when they don't laugh, I assume, is
yeah,
you get into trouble.
But can you imagine if getting up there and then you die? I could never do that. I mean, you guys have a lot of guts and courage to be able to get up and do that. And I'm sure you go through a learning process, and maybe when you first started it, hey, you weren't that good. And you learn how to get to be good, and you learn how to deal with hecklers and so forth.
Of course. The thing about it is any comic that says he hasn't died probably hasn't been on stage more than once.
That's good.
That happens to everybody. And you still write bits that, you know, aren't quite what you thought they were. You know, in your brain, you're going, man, this is going to kill. Then you get up there, and like you said, you know, it's crickets, and you're going, maybe I should not write that.
Maybe this
way
wasn't
anymore.
This wasn't as funny as I thought it was.
Yeah,
there's one thing I've noticed about professional comics or professional comedians when they get up there. Invariably, there's a heckler. And when they're really good, they know how to handle hecklers, and they put them in their place, one, two, three. And I've seen that, and it's nice to watch and see a professional up there doing his best and then being heckled, and then they get back at the heckler and they just kill them, do away with them.
Last week,
we saw a comedian, an older guy, he's been around many, many years, Shelley Berman. Maybe you have heard of him. And
yeah,
he's coming, let's see, I think he's been in the show business as a comic as about over 50 years. And there was some lady heckling. And boy, he made a short whatever of her. He took care of her real quickly in a nice way.
But not necessarily heckers. Did you ever feel threatened on stage from a hostile audience?
When I was in Canada, yeah. And I mean, that sounds funny, but it's true.
Yeah, those Canadians are vicious.
It was more the venue, we were doing a bunch of one-nighters when I was in British Columbia and Alberta. We did 16 cities in 3 weeks.
Wow.
That's all an ass, literally. And we were at one club one night, and I remember this guy just came and stood there right in front of the stage.
Brian, hold on to that. We're coming up to a break. And we'll be you're listening to CRNTalk.com, The View from Over Here, on CRN Digital Radio, and you can get our website at www.viewfromoverhere.com, and we'll be back with Brian Shirley in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Hi, Stan Weisleder on CRNTalk.com. I am in the studio here with Malcolm Berman. Our special guest for today, Brian T. Shirley, is going to continue his story about his trip to Canada after he got interrupted by our commercials. Brian.
Well, I got to tell you, some of these venues that you do on the road, people would not believe. I was in a fishing village where they only had about 30 minutes to catch whatever fish for that season. And to say that Canadians drink beer is like saying water's kind of moist. Anyway, so this guy just comes and stands right in front of the stage with his beer, just eyeing me down, you know. And that's one of those days when you go, well, it's going to happen today, you know, because you always think, what's going to happen if somebody, you know, attacks me on stage? And it's, you never think it's going to happen, but that was the closest I've ever had. And I told him, I said, you come any closer, I'll give you a microphone stand enema. And he backed off.
That's a good heckler joke.
It worked that night, thank goodness.
Well, I can imagine, I can imagine someone coming, okay, Brian, be funny. Make me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that a lot. And it's hard to explain to people, hey, I'm a character when I'm on stage. I'm different off stage than I am on stage. Even my dad has got used to when people, he tells them my son's a comedian and they say, you know, do something funny. He's even got to my, jumped to my fence and said, look, you got to see him on stage. You can't just, you know.
But by the way, where's your accent from?
Well, I grew up in Marietta, Georgia. I live in Charleston, South Carolina right now. But sometimes when I go up north, a lot of people can't tell I'm from the South because I do stuff like enunciate, and that screws them up.
You definitely come off from the South. Well, I'm a Brooklyn boy myself, and everybody, you know, I've only been living in Los Angeles for about 30 years, but everybody knows I hail from Brooklyn by the sound of my voice.
Exactly. I've got a connection with CRN Radio I did not know until I saw y'all's website. Let me tell you real quick, Malcolm and Stan, this is a big honor for me, too. Y'all have Barry Farber on your network. I don't know if you guys know Barry personally. I don't. But I have known his little brother. When I say little, Barry's in his 80s, right? I believe.
Yeah, he's an older gentleman.
Yeah, his brother is Jerry Farber, a comedian out of Atlanta who has been doing it for a good 50 years or so. And I had the honor of headlining his club in Atlanta, Jerry Farber's Side Door. And he talks very much about his brother, very affectionately, too, even though they're diametrically opposed politically. They are very far.
Yeah, but Barry Farber had a syndicated show when I was a boy in New York. I think WOR Radio.
Yes, and Jerry says that he is the guy that people like Rush Limbaugh, et cetera, looked up to in the day.
He has a very calming voice, you know, a little Southern accent there, but very calming and very, like, together. You listen to him, it's sort of like a, you know, listening to a preacher or something. It's really calming.
Brian, I have a question for you. Do you have any idea how many comedians or comics there are out in the United States? All told?
Oh, man, that is an incredible question that I wish I could answer, because then it would help me figure out how to get more gigs. There's got to be thousands of them, and it depends on what level, too, or when do you call somebody a professional comedian? You know, there's so many.
They're getting paid. They're a professional, whether it's $5 or $5,000.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Or
sure.
If you're up in Canada, they pay you off in beer. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, or that fish, if they can catch it.
If they can catch it, a little salmon, you go up a little further north.
True, yes.
How can we hear some of your materials? Do you have a website that people can go to and see your schedule or hear some of your work?
Oh, sure. They can go to Brian T. Shirley. That's BrianTShirley, just like the girl, as you were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm not related to Laverne or Shirley. You can go there, BrianTShirley.webs.com. And I've got videos on there. I've got a YouTube channel also with probably several hours of videos. And I'm doing web series now about my radio show and being on the road. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you this, Stan. I did the sold-out shows in Pittsburgh. I've got a web series called BTS on the Road. So if you want to see what it's like from the backstage stuff, you know, I show a little bit of clips of me on stage, but most of it is me, you know, what's it like to be on the road as a comedian? Well, I just started doing this thing. I think I shot number four.
Well, do you travel by bus or do you drive or what? You said 16 venues in 3 weeks or something like that?
That was in Canada. I drove all the way from Charleston, South Carolina, up through, picked up my Daryl Rhodes, a well-known comedian. I was on tour with him back then. Picked him up in Washington, and we hit it. We went as far north as you can go on the continent, and a Grand Am, two-door.
Wow.
Grand Am. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I drive a lot. I fly, like, Bahamas, obviously, when I did the Atlantis Resort. I've done it twice. It's beautiful.
Have you ever performed in Alaska?
No, have not done Alaska.
Yeah, I ask because you cannot drive to Alaska. There are no roads. You have to fly or go by boat.
But you can see Russia from there.
Well, only Sarah Palin can see Russia from there. Not us mortals.
Are you going to be? Are you going? Have any plans to be in Los Angeles that we could catch you here? First local folk
yet. No, I'd love to get out there. I've got to start investigating the clubs out there. And a lot of comics come out there and, you know, they try their skills or whatever. I want to get paid to come out there. I don't want to come out there and, you know, kind of struggle because I've been doing that for 20 years. So
what is your humor about generally? What do you specialize in? Is it ethnic or is it just general or make fun of America or what?
I don't do a lot of political stuff, Stan and Malcolm, because I find that divides the audience right down the middle. But I do touch on a lot of things in society. I also talk about my growing up poor and coming from a divorced family. So I hit the nation at the heart, I think, my material does. And, you know, everyday stuff, too. But then I've got some weird kind of, like I have a character from the South. He's called the Fine Southern Gentleman. He talks like this here, sir. You know, so bring back the dialect of the old South because I thought it was a beautiful language. And you notice how we write these days. Back then, if you read any of the letters, they were just very eloquent. And what happened to that?
what happened to writing and to letters? I don't know if I've gotten a personal letter in years.
People text and do email. Hardly anybody writes.
Anyway, Brian, we're coming up to the end of the session. Thank you very much for joining us.
And Brian, you got to let us know when you come to LA.
And you're listening to
CRN.
Thank you much, Brian. You're listening to CRNTalk.com. We'll be back in a few minutes with Jerry Cutler.
Welcome back. This is Stan Weisleder and Malcolm Berman on CRNTalk.com, viewfromoverhere.com. Look us up or call us 800-336-2225.
And speaking about funny men, who do we have on the line?
Well, we should have Jerry Cutler, rabbi who used to be a comic, but I think he's still a comic from what I see. He was very good this past Sunday.
Are you there, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm listening to the review. Don't bother him. He's well, go for it.
Well, we're interested in your reviews. What do you have for us today? And by the way, is Jeff with you, or are you doing a solo?
No, I'm solo.
Okay.
Nice,
don't be so low that we can't hear you, so speak up.
Boom. Look at the competition I'm facing here.
Well, Jeff is not there. It was nice speaking to you, Jerry. We'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, well, you're like everybody else in my life. Yeah. They both prefer Jeff, and I don't blame them.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
She has a very bad cold and sniffling a lot. wouldn't be any fun.
Sniffling or sniveling. But anyway, come on. What do you have for us today?
I don't have any movies.
What do you have?
Oh, but you're here. Okay, you're here.
I thought you guys wanted to discuss the funeral.
Well, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay.
Well, we already had our say about it, and but let's hear it from you. You had a different perspective. You were up on the dais.
Yeah, well, first of all, Sid was a dear friend, and aside from a congregant for many years, and as a very special guy, special in that he was so humble. I loved this man. I also buried his brother, unfortunately, a few years ago. And when after the service, we were walking back, he turned to me and he said, and his brother's name was Dave. He said, "You know, Dave was the funny one."
Huh. And, Jerry, I understand that you were also did the bris for Sid Caesar. Is that true?
No, you got your facts wrong. But I did for his kids, though. So I didn't really know. You know, his son, interesting, Rick, he was a doctor. He's 6'10", and he played for Beverly Hills High School basketball, took them to the championships, this guy. Quite a guy.
How many 6'10 Jewish guys do you know?
I don't know. The only one I knew was Haye Boykoff, and sadly he's passed on also. Mm. But he was the first big Jewish ball player. I mean, tall. He was also an All-American and played professional ball, and we were very close. He came out to I met him here again. I bumped into him. We both graduated the same high school, albeit he was much older.
Mm-hmm. Well,
at any rate, the Caesar, Sid Caesar, who was an icon, as we all know. He left such a legacy. All the tapes, the tender you show his shows, whenever anyone has any chance whatsoever, please go out and get something. Go online and Google Sid Caesar. You will be laughing incessantly. His routines, his writers were Mel Brooks, Woody Allen, Carl Reiner, Doc Simon, Larry Gelbart. You can't amass the people like that today. Of course, it'd be a fortune, but with these writers and with his incredible God-given talent, this show was by far the best entertainment show ever.
Well,
ever
as we were talking, he did 90 minutes. Live.
It was all
once
live,
a week.
Yeah, and it worked beautifully.
I think Carl Reiner tells us. I think it's Carl Reiner, one of the writers, said that after a great show, they come into the dressing room and they would think that Sid Caesar was jubilant because it was a great show, but he was depressed. And say, "Sid, why are you depressed?" He said, "We got a great show. What do we do next week to top it?"
Yeah.
But Jerry, when Karen spoke, his daughter.
Yeah.
She revealed aspects of Sid that the public was completely, totally unaware of. Did you know that much about his private life?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't exactly get what you said.
Well, when his daughter spoke...
When Karen spoke, yes.
Yeah, when she spoke and revealed some of his quirks or whatever you want to call them, inadequacies, I don't know what you want
the
to say.
Demons, you mean?
The demons, yeah.
Well, no, those are well chronicled, even in the book he wrote.
Yeah, he wrote an autobiography.
He wrote an autobiography, and he told of all his all the demons. And the last few months, he was failing, and still we'd go to his house. And going to his house was a pleasure, not only to see him, but to see all the people who gathered.
Who were generally the people that would go to these parties, these small intimate parties?
Well, Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, Richard Lewis, Lainey Kazan, Jeffrey Ross.
Yeah, literally, who's who?
Arthur Hiller, the great director. Joe Bologna, Renee Taylor.
Did they tell jokes, or did they just sit around and
eat? No, told jokes.
Anyway, Jerry, hold on, because we're coming up to a break.
So Jerry, don't go away, Jerry.
You're listening
to
The View from Over Here. .com, which you can, our website is viewfromoverhere.com. Know the on crntalk.com, on CRN Digital Network. We'll be back in a few minutes.
We're back.
We're back.
I'm Stan Weissleder, and beside me is Malcolm Berman at crntalk.com, and on the air with us is Jerry Cutler.
Jerry, just going to another topic.
And there was Dick Van Dyke, and there was Monty Hall, and Rudy DeLuca, and Connie Stevens, and Estelle Harris. Ugh. I keep on going on and on and on.
You know, something too bad. Well, it might have been too personal, but that would have been a great if someone had taped that.
You know, with the Diane Ladd, I mean, everybody was there. Carl came, it was about 2 years ago, I know. Carl came with a cup, Jews telling jokes, old Jews telling jokes, which was a show on Broadway, which was very stupid. But anyway, it was old Jewish guys telling old jokes, and people came by the droves. But at any rate, the cup was old Jews telling jokes, so he brought the cup and he gave it to someone. They had to go around the room. Whoever got the cup had to tell a joke.
A Jewish joke?
No, just any a joke.
A joke about old people.
And not even about old people, just do a
okay.
joke. And it was very, very funny. We did this for a number of months, and I think everyone was joked out. But, of course, the main person to go to listen to was Mel Brooks. And Mel said, I don't tell jokes, and he doesn't.
He tells stories.
He stories, yes, and he just talks. And hysterically funny. Brilliant. So brilliant. This man, I love him to pieces. He's such a good man.
Well, that was Sid Caesar also. I mean, his brilliance was in the skits that he did.
His was in the skits, yes. Sid wasn't, you know, you said he wasn't a funny man, but what a comedic genius.
He never told a joke, as I can recall.
No. His genius was in acting and portraying and putting himself into different characters. I mean, the characters, you remember the classics? They did a takeoff from My Life. What is it? This is Your Life.
This is Your Life.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
that was funny.
And that was a classic.
The clock in Belgium
with Howard Morris. Howard, who sadly I buried also a few years ago, but Howard also was a wonderful comedic talent. And the two of them never stopped. Can you imagine Sid Caesar, Carl Reiner, Howard Morris, and then the writing?
Imogen Coca, you're forgetting.
Imogen Coca, what's her name? Febre.
Nanette Febre was in the latter shows, I think.
Yes, she came on the next year, and after Imogen left. Mm-hmm.
Even in his later years, I remember when he would go to the New York Alumni Association, and as soon as the spotlight went on him, he would do his foreign language routine.
Well,
it was a riot.
He was noted for that. At a split second, he would get up and do his double talk.
Yeah, Jerry, I hear our exit music, but I have a job for you.
Yes,
see
sir.
A movie this week.
Yeah, if I'm up to it, I will, I promise.
When you said you have a job for him, I thought you were going to say that somebody was passing away.
Well, the problem is that happens too often.
Yes, I mean, and as a matter of fact, since I hang up, I'm getting ready to go to do another funeral.
I mean, this week it was Sid Caesar, it was Shirley Temple, and it was Ralph Waite.
Yes,
that's
three. Yeah.
For some reason, it happens. Anyway, Jerry, I hope you have a good week.
You guys also. Nice speaking.
Speak to you.
See you next week, Jerry.
I hope Jeff
God
gets
bless,
better.
Guys.
Now you're listening to The View from Over Here on CRNTalk.com, CRN Digital Network, and you can get shows on www.viewfromoverhere.com. Know the. And we will speak to you next week. Have a great week.
Have a good one.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.